to commence with hymn 1085. Hence, vain intruding world depart, no more allure nor vex my heart. Let every vanity be gone, I would be peaceful and alone. 1085.
Thank you. together from the Word of God, from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5, and we will read the first 26 verses. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5, and reading the first 26 verses. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand, and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. May the Lord bless that portion of his word of truth to us, and help us in prayer. O Lord, our God, we venture before thee at this time, seeking, Lord, that thou wilt draw near unto us and prepare our hearts that we might approach unto thee and seek thy face, Lord. Oh, we do need, Lord, thy grace and thy spirit to come upon us. Oh, to, Lord, bring us into that low and humble place, realizing, Lord, our need of thee. And, oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may each at this time know such grace in our hearts that come before thee, Lord, with nothing in and of ourselves, but ready, Lord, to serve thee and to worship thee. O Lord, it is our mercy that thou hast turned our feet into the means of grace this evening hour. O Lord, how good thou art. O do grant unto us, Lord, that real and true spiritual appetite for thyself and for those things, the Lord, proclaimed and set forth in thy gospel grace, and where a precious Christ is revealed in all his goodness and his fullness. And, O Lord, we do pray, meet the need of each and every one of us at this time. Lord, our needs are differing, but, oh, our needs are great. And, Lord, we come helpless, but looking unto thee, for our eyes are up unto thee, that thou wilt come and do something for us each, we pray, and that we might be enabled, Lord, as those many that glorified thee upon the earth, saw the blessings that were indeed shown unto those who were the sick, the infirmed, and then also the leper. And, oh, that glory that truly belongeth unto God, for that Jesus came, and that he came to where his people were, and, oh, to heal the sick, and to give give eyes to the blind, and for the dumb to speak. Lord, oh, may that be our portion spiritually this evening hour. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. O Lord, release our tongue, that we might speak well of thy name, the wonders of thy grace to us, and all that thou art, and all that thou, Lord, truly hast done for us in thy salvation. O Lord Jesus, we do thank thee that thou hast indeed drawn near, revealed thyself to us, and though, yes, Lord, accounting ourselves to be base and vile and undone, and yet our mercy, that thou didst come, Lord, that thou didst draw near to sinners, and oh, the blessing and the truth, that thou didst indeed show mercy to them. And Lord, it was the sick that came to thee, the sick that came to the physician. And Lord, what a great mercy it is, if we have come sick this evening hour, and into the means of grace, sick of self and sick of sin, but oh, Lord Jesus, to be found at thy table, and where thou dost receive sinners and eateth with them, is our great mercy. Oh, do, Lord, afford unto each one of us some handfuls of purpose for our souls. Lord, all our needs are before thee. Thou hast heard our prayers and our petitions as we came into the pews of thy house. We have told thee all our heart. O Lord, do appear. O do show forth thyself as that one indeed who is prayer hearing and prayer answering before thy people. For thou hast bidden them, they shall call upon my name, and I shall hear them. Lord, it is our mercy. And we do pray, Lord Jesus, that we may be enabled at this time to hear thee in thy word, in thy gospel, and as thy word is preached forth, and oh, to hear, Lord, oh, that greatest blessing, the pardon and the forgiveness of our sins. O Lord, undertake for each one of us then. O Lord, we have read in thy word at the beginning of our chapter how that the people pressed upon thee for to hear thee. Lord, are we pressing? Oh, do we want to know that voice of pardoning love and mercy? Do we want to know the blessings and promises of a covenant God in and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we want to know again and again our election sure through him that came to save us and redeem us? Oh, do we want to hear again and again that thou hast reserved for us an inheritance in heaven, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you? Oh, we want to hear these things, Lord Jesus. We want them to be confirmed to us again and again in our souls. We want thee to lift up the beggar from the dust, Lord. Oh, lift us up above the veil. Show to us, Lord, each, we pray thee, this evening hour, the blessings of thy salvation. And Lord, may it be that they shall rest upon our spirit, a token of thine especial eternal love to us, and help us that we might go forth from thy house this evening hour rejoicing, even as the Ethiopian eunuch. Oh, do come then, Lord, bless us each, undertake our cause and interest, look down upon us, Lord, and we do pray, open our hearts to hear and to receive thy word. And Lord, may it be that thou wilt, Lord, appear for each one of us, and that we might learn and know of thee, and grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, it is little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, that thou wilt lead and teach thy people in the way, and that way that thou wilt have them to go. O Lord, we do pray that we may indeed this evening hour be taught at thy hand, lead us and direct us in all our paths, also, Lord, into the precious truths of thy gospel grace. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wilt be that one to dwell in the midst of us according to thy promise. The twos and the threes that gather together in my name. Lord, what a mercy it is to be one of those twos and threes, ready to hear thee in thy word. So we thank thee, Lord, for all mercies this day. We thank thee for all thy care and thy keeping towards us. In providence, Lord, how that thou hast been that one to go before us. Thou hast preserved us from many dangers, both seen and unseen. And Lord, we thank thee for that. And Lord, we realize again and again also that we have many enemies without. And O Lord, the solemn truth, we cannot keep ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. Oh, deliver us, Lord, from world, flesh and devil, from all the vanities of this life, from all the carking cares of this life. Oh, Lord, do deliver, do save. Oh, may we know the truth, what it is to be crucified to the world, and the world crucified to me. Oh, may that mercy be ours. Oh, may it be Jesus alone, and none but he, indeed, who is able to bring us through our cause. But may he alone be all our enjoyment, all our pleasure, all our worship. Oh, we pray, Lord, for these things. We know that we have many lawful and necessary things to do here below. But, Lord, oh, we do pray, bring us time and time again to that time of separation, that time to seek thy face, that time to seek union and fellowship with thee, that time to seek thee in prayer. O Lord, do help us in these things, we pray thee. O, to be prayerful people. O Lord, where there is prayer, there is life. Behold, he prayeth. O, may indeed be that one blessing, Lord Jesus, that branch of prayer be found ours, and Lord, calling upon thy great and thy holy name. So do draw near to us, Lord. Keep us from self and keep us from sin. We pray thee, Lord. Lord, we are brought to that, Lord, place so many times. Thou knowest, and we pray about it, Lord, that place that thy servant Paul came to, that he bore with him a body of death. Or in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Lord, how that we have come time and time to that place. O, brought, Lord Jesus, to confess, to repent our sins and iniquities, when we would do good, evil being present with us. O Lord Jesus, help us to flee to the fountain of thy precious blood. We do believe that that indeed was that only place that thy servant Paul could flee to, and oh, it truly proved to be a hiding place for him. Oh, that rock upon which he stood and was a covering for him. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Ah, Lord, we come a time and again to that place, Calvary's tree. Oh, the blessedness of a crucified Saviour for the sins and the iniquities of his people. Cleanse us, Lord. Heal us, Lord, and bring us again into thy presence, and that we might feel after thee and know again and again the comforts and the blessings that flow out of Zion into the souls of poor needy sinners through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, draw near to each one of us, we pray. Continue to dwell with and in the midst of thy people here. O Lord, show thyself in the greatness of thy power. O Lord, meet the needs of thy people. But Lord, the seekers, or that they that desire to come, that they might know thee in thy salvation, Lord, we prayerfully commit them unto thee. O Lord, it is a day of grace, a day where thy mercy is to be found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which holdeth good news for sinners. O Lord, may this be the hope of poor sinners here, seeking to know that rest in Jesus, the pardon and the forgiveness of all their sins. Lord, we commit them prayerfully to thee. Oh, may this house be a house full of sinners, saved by grace. And it will be grace alone that is able to do it. And Lord, we pray for these mercies. So do draw near to us, Lord. Bless thy people under the preaching of the gospel, all that gather together in like manner as we do at this time. Help and enable thy servants, that they might stand forth in thy name and preach thy gospel. Be mouth matter and wisdom for them. And, O Lord, do undertake, meet the needs of thy people. Help them to feed the gospel poor with the good things that are in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, be with the deacons of this thy house. Undertake for them, give them wisdom, Lord, that they may be enabled to direct and lead and teach, and pray, Lord, that they may be those that shall indeed be enabled to pray in respect of the welfare of thy people here, and commit them into thine ever merciful hands. O, undertake for them. And so be with us now, Lord. We look to thee. Help thy servant. Help him to speak in thy name the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Be mouth, matter, and utterance unto him. And Lord, we do pray through him. Speak unto thy people here the words of this life. Cause their souls to live. Oh, to build them up, to edify them in the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, to give thee the glory and the praise. We ask these mercies with the pardon and the forgiveness of our every sin through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hymn 1059. Jesus, the truth, the way, the sure unerring light, on thee my feeble soul I'd stay, which thou canst lead aright. 1059.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. We would seek to draw your attention to the chapter that we read, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 5, and we will read from verse 12 and 13. Gospel according to Luke chapter 5, reading from verse 12 and 13. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand, and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. The words that have been laid upon my spirit for a day or two are these words, I will. Be thou clean. It is the Lord, by his Spirit, that has brought these words to rest upon my spirit. I believe that the Lord has sent me to you this evening hour to preach of sin. The Lord knows the reason and the why for it. I don't. But one thing is sure and certain. Sin is a monster. Millions have been thrust into an eternity of bliss, an abyss of hell and destruction through the solemn matter, the root of sin. Seeking the help of the Lord to open up one or two truths that by and through this man here, who was a leper, we have a type or a representation of a coming sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. In this chapter, we have the mercy, the pity, the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ plainly and clearly shown to us that mercy is with him. We have the truth and the blessing that in this chapter we have those things shown to us that reflected the manner of his preaching for 3.5 years. He came to do nothing but good. And Jesus, as he is shown and revealed to us here, we have this truth and this blessing that those whom he appeared unto were those that glorified him. Dear friends, if the Lord will come and do anything for us, it would be incumbent upon us to glorify him. When Jesus prayed unto his heavenly Father, he said, I have glorified thee upon the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Where Jesus glorified his heavenly Father upon the earth, it was in that work that his heavenly Father gave him to do. And one of those works is found here in respect of this leper. It is here that Jesus was passing through a certain city. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city. It was a certain city. But dear friends, in respect of this leper and the Lord Jesus Christ, there was no uncertainty in respect of the meeting. In respect of these two coming together, there was no uncertainty about that. And it will show to us clearly this, that the Lord Jesus Christ will meet with each and every one with whom he will show his mercy to. There is no doubt in respect of that. Dear friend, if there are any seekers here tonight, doubt it not. He will meet with each and every one who has been brought, like this man, to seek him and to find him. Behold, a man full of leprosy. Leprosy was an awful disease. The beholder of it was separated from family, kindred, friends, relations. It was set apart, mostly on the outer walls of the city, or the towns, or the villages. Sometimes they were let within the walls, but they had to sit and be still and unmoving if they were inside of the walls. When they go about, if any were coming towards them, they had to cry, unclean, unclean. Such was leprosy. And it would probably be that white leprosy that here this man had. One of the most common. The leprosy, because this man was full of leprosy, was wholly covered. He would have sores, scabs. He would have swellings. His flesh would be corrupt. And I am informed that even if the hair was pulled, that the flesh would come with it. Such was leprosy. Behold, a man full of leprosy. this flesh would be corrupt. His very bones would be rotten. His whole body would be diseased through this leprosy. Full of leprosy. And I want to open up the truth as we may go through these words, the application of them in respect of sin. For leprosy has always been looked upon as that type of sin, and that is found in us by our very nature and birth into this world. Behold, a man full of leprosy. He knew that he was a leper. He knew. Not only by those things that were come upon him and in his body, but also that he was one separated from the society of people, set apart. Let us see this in respect of sin, but let us just look at Scripture. Let us see from Scripture the light of truth, where we are, what we are by nature, and how that we are sinners in God's sight. I thought of those words in Psalm 14. First three verses. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That is the solemn truth of our state and our condition by nature. May the Lord apply it to our hearts by his Spirit and his power. Show to us what we are by nature and where we stand in respecting a holy, a righteous and a pure God, and who cannot look upon sin with any degree of allowance. And because this man was full of leprosy. There's another word that came into my mind, or I believe that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, put it into my mind. And it is a word in the first chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, verses 5 and 6. First chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Dear friends, this man was full of leprosy. This is where we are by nature and our birth into this world. Yes, this this truth that the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in us, dear friends. The man was full of leprosy. And dear friends, we're full of sin. From head to foot, there is no soundness in us whatsoever. Sin has tainted us all through the Adam fall. And this is where we are in respect of our birth into this world. But oh dear friends, if the Lord, the Holy Spirit, show to us and teach us and show to us our desperate case and our condition by nature. Oh, this man knew his condition. Oh, he knew the solemn truth of what it was to be filled with this leprosy. He was separated, as it were, from the society of people. And dear friends, if the Lord, the Holy Spirit, show you your sins, friends, you will want to be separated from everybody. If the awfulness of those sins are revealed to thy soul. Yes, dear friends. This is the awfulness of sin. And as the Lord will charge the guilt of it upon our consciences, it will lay us low, dear friends, and bring us to nothing as this man. The solemn truth in respect of this sin is its implications and the punishment that God in his righteousness hath declared, because he is righteous, to bring about a punishment for sin. He is righteous because of his holiness, to bring about a punishment for sin. And truly it is glorifying to his name that there is a punishment for sin because of his holiness. He cannot look upon sin. Now what a mercy it is, dear friends, if the Lord would show to us these solemn truths here, that we're sick. Sin. Black, vile, base, undone. Polluted, corrupt. Dear friends, I do believe this, that the Lord has sent me to preach about sin tonight. Take knowledge of the Lord's servants. We have to give an account, dear friends, of our stewardship. And friends, I pray and beg that none here will say, "Oh, sin again. Oh, he's preaching sin again. Oh, sin. All they do is preach sin." If we're born into this life, dear friends, continue our course and never know the blessedness of this person and what he came to do, friends, we shall dwell in an eternity, a black abyss, destruction to our souls. And friends, The Lord has commanded that the wages of sin is death. Death corporeal, spiritual and eternal. And it is a solemn truth, dear friends, that there are many. Jesus said that there is a broad way to destruction. Many go thereat. A man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face. This man knew something of Jesus, dear friends. His only hope, his only mercy. This man, Jesus. He came to Jesus, who seeing Jesus fell on his face. Matthew and Mark say that he came to Jesus. Why, his condition was desperate. Look at him. See that leper. He may have seen his family and his kindred at a distance. See his solemn condition. Could not communicate. Could not hug and embrace. This dear man here was his only hope. And friends, what else was it that drew this man to Jesus? Faith. Faith, dear friends, sprung up in his soul. Where did that come from? Why, it is God-given. God-given. This man was drawn to Jesus. He knew somewhat of him. Dear friends, is it that plague of sin in thine heart? Does it burden thee? Does it sorrow thee? Does it bring thee to mourn and cry? Well, dear friends, who seeing Jesus fell on his face? There's only one place for the guilty sinner, for those undone, corrupt and base. And dear friends, there's another truth in respect of those that are brought to mourn over their sad state and condition by nature. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Burden with sin, guilt, defilement, come unto me, Jesus says. No other hope, but he alone is the remedy for the malady of sin. This is the mercy that is here found for all black sinners, all brought to see their defilement, all brought to feel the corruptions of their heart. I'm just quoting the words of Scripture, dear friends. The Holy Scriptures, the Word of our God, clearly shown to us that we're corrupt and polluted by nature. Who seeing Jesus fell on his face. How did this man come to Jesus? He didn't come with any strength of his own, dear friends. became weak, helpless, needy. It was undone, ruined. And dear friends, he brought nothing in his hand. He didn't speak any good of himself. He didn't come with any works of righteousness that he had done. And so, friends, the sinner, those laden and burdened with their sin, nothing to plead, dear friends, of our own. Just looking at one or two hymns before I came out this evening. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, 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 vile, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Ah, dear friends, here is mercy. Mercy indeed to sinners. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, we pray that this mercy indeed may come to many, that they might find and realize their need of Jesus as sinners. Well, this is the truth, the words of our text. Who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, behold, he prayeth, besought him. It seems to be a word that may mean supplication. That deeper earnestness, that deeper need, not just in the general flow of prayer, but something singular, something urgent, something pressing upon his spirit, supplicating, beseeching, begging. Dear friends, oh, to come to Jesus in this way, helpless, ruined in and of ourselves, no good of ourselves to plead, but coming to Jesus, begging and suing for that mercy that only Jesus can show to guilty, ruined sinners. And besought him. Friends, if the Lord Jesus, by his Spirit, has shown thee thy sins, then this is thy only hope. Found at the feet of Jesus, he fell on his face. He was here in the attitude of worship and prayer. One of the other evangelists says that he fell upon his knees. A helpless poor man, but oh, the sinner. Dear friends, to venture our all upon Jesus. And you see, this man knew somewhat of Jesus, and it is important that we open up this truth. He besought him. He knew that Jesus was able to heal him, to cure him. to put every matter right concerning him. And he knows this, that Jesus heareth the prayers and the petitions of sinners, those who are brought to feel their need of him. He will not despise the prayer of the destitute. No, dear friends, he will hear them. This man was destitute. Dear friends, if you've been shown your sins, you will be destitute. And Jesus will be thy only hope. He fell on his face and besought him. I think it might be proper here just to open up this truth. He must have known of Jesus. He must have heard of him, that he was able to perform miracles, which did show plainly and truly his messiahship, and bore witness to him of who he was, the sent one, the Messiah, the Saviour of sinners. But is it a venturing to Jesus with all thy sin? I do believe, dear friends, if you are venturing to Jesus with all the load and the burden of thy sin upon thy conscience, I believe the Holy Spirit would have taught you and shown you this truth: the blessedness of his cross and the shedding of his blood. Oh, I do believe that that would be opened up, because, dear friends, his precious blood will be our only plea. Our only plea. This is the greatest and most blessed and glorious doctrinal truth in the whole of the scriptures. The cross of Christ, Jesus, in the room and place of the sinner. Most blessed and glorious doctrinal truth. Because, dear friends, it covers that more solemn doctrinal truth of sin and guilt and pollution. And that, friends, is a great doctrinal truth. But the cross of Christ is the most blessed and glorious and doctrinal truth that can ever be realized and beheld by a poor sinner. I just thought of that word in Hebrews chapter 13. In verse 12 and 13, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Dear friends, can we see these two parts together? In the previous verse it says, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Dear friends, the carcasses of the beasts, once they had been slain and sacrificed, then the carcasses were burned without the walls of Jerusalem. And if we just look at that burning of the carcasses in respect of Jesus and his suffering without the gate, it might indicate to us, dear friends, the body, the life that he laid down, the awful sufferings that he endured and passed through, the crucifixion itself being such a lingering and an agonizing death, the nails thrust through the body, the crown of thorns, the stripes laid upon him. Dear friends, the carcasses were burnt without the walls of Jerusalem, but Jesus suffered without the camp, in the likeness of that carcass that was burnt. See the sufferings of Jesus. Oh, dear friends, we cannot come into it, can we? The multitude of thy sins, the multitude, the whole sins of the church together in one sacrifice. Oh, dear friends, suffered without the gate, the intensity of his sufferings, that's what it is. Burning the carcasses, the intensity of his sufferings. Oh, what about those sins, dear friends, that have brought such sorrow into thy soul? It is here, dear friends. Jesus, upon the cross, the body that he laid down, the life that he gave, and then the blood that he shed. The blood that he shed. Oh, dear friends, to sanctify the people. Now let us come to the words here, saying, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If thou wilt. I don't believe that it means in this instance any uncertainty. I looked at the meaning of this word before I came out in Collins Concordance, the Greek translation. It says wish. It was his only wish. Oh, there was nothing else, dear friends, for this poor man. His only wish, that Jesus would do something for him, if thou wilt. He knew that he could do it. His faith drew him to him. Lord, if thou wilt. What a plea it is, dear friends. Are there any here, dear friends, tonight, burdened with sin? Has thy poor faith drawn thee to Jesus? Is Jesus thy only hope? Is this thy cry? Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Oh, that precious blood, the life that he gave. Oh, dear friends, one sacrifice for sin, and then this truth, the words that we've opened up in Hebrew, the blood that he shed, his sufferings without the gate. He is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Able. Oh, this man knew that he was able to do something for him. Ah, dear friends. Any sin-sick sinner, dear friends, is welcome here. I can bear testimony to that. Sin-sick sinner, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. His precious sin-atoning blood is able to cleanse and to heal from all sin and defilement. Let this be all thy hope Let thy faith draw thee to Jesus. Save unto the uttermost sinner, to give the uttermost salvation. And then the compassion, the pity, and the mercy of Jesus. And he put forth his hand, ah, dear friends, to touch the sinner. To touch the vilest sinner, he put forth his hand. You see, he couldn't be contaminated or defiled by sin. Pure and holy and just is he. But he is able to touch the sinner as he touched this man. You know, I just thought of that time when Simon the Pharisee invited the Lord Jesus to his house. And that poor woman came in, 500 pence debtor. She was a great sinner, wasn't she? And Simon the Pharisee, he couldn't understand the dear Lord Jesus. He said if this man were a prophet, he would see that this woman was a sinner. For she hath touched him. Well, dear friends, she touched him because Jesus first touched her. Ah, dear friends, let us get the thing the right way round. Yes, Jesus had first touched her, changed her, shown to her the solemn truth of her sin, the enormity of her sin. Yes, dear friends, it made her low. It brought her humble. She didn't speak a word, did she? In this narrative, not a word. But dear me, friends, those tears of contrition say everything, don't they? Tears of contrition, the mercy that she had found, the blessedness of the dear Lord Jesus. She was weeping, and she washed his feet with her tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head. Dear friends, she was a humbled, broken woman because Jesus came and touched her. And then now she has come to touch Jesus and show her thankfulness and her praise and blessing to him, to show the mercy that she had found. He put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Well, dear friends, this seemed to be the word that was laid upon my spirit. I will. Dear friends, he will never turn away a coming sinner. And you see, Jesus can see and behold the sorrow and the mourning in the soul. He knows the cry of this man, what it meant. And dear friends, he knows the cry of the poor sinner. He sees and beholds the burden of the sin that the Holy Spirit has revealed to him. And dear friends, isn't that the truth with sinners? I will, be thou clean. And Jesus touched him. And friends, if Jesus touch thee and say these words, I will, be thou clean, then, dear friends, thou shalt be clean It is the promise of God. And we see Jesus in respect of sin. I was just going to make mention of the time and the season when they brought that man with the palsy in to Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, "Man, thy sins be forgiven thee." The scribes and the Pharisees couldn't understand this, that Jesus, this man before them, they couldn't understand that he was God. Oh, it must be so, dear friends. Here we have Jesus in our nature. Yes, here showing compassion and pity to this leper, but then also his divine nature. And what a mercy it is, dear friends, two natures in one glorious Christ. And that they did not see and behold that this dear man, this real man that was before them, was almighty and true God, and that only God can pardon sin. No, they couldn't see that. They were blinded. Jesus is able to pardon crimson sins. And by that precious blood of his, as it may just come into our minds, I just go to a portion of scripture in the Acts of the Apostles. I believe it is in Acts 20. And where we see the truth regarding the Lord our God. Paul is departing from the church at Ephesus. He has told them that he probably wouldn't see them again, but he committed them to the Lord their God. But he spake to the elders and said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." See, the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Dear friends, it isn't the blood of a mere man. That won't save anybody, dear friends. Corrupt. The blood of God. Oh, that precious sin-atoning blood that is able to clean, able to cleanse and able to heal from all sin and from all defilement. And then a truth, a blessing, a promise shown to us by the Lord. In hymn 542, we have Christ set forth as our great high priest. And in the third verse, it says this: "By his own atoning blood, he my wounded spirit cured, washed and made me white as snow." Yes, the black sinner, as white as snow. The blood and righteousness of Jesus cleansed me well from top to toe, a full of leprosy, full of wounds and bruises, sole of the feet to the head, dear friends, but now cleansed from top to toe. The precious blood of Jesus. I do pray, dear friends, that we may have that interest in the blood of Jesus. It was found in our first hymn. Never let these hymns, dear friends, pass from us without the observance of them. The fourth verse is this: "Be this my great, my only care, my chief pursuit, my ardent prayer." Dear friends, let it be ours, an interest in the Saviour's blood, my pardon sealed, and peace with God. That is what the poor sinner wants, dear friends. That is what the poor sinner is seeking for. And this is the truth of the words of our text. I will be thou clean. Dear friends, that is the pardon and the forgiveness of all our sins. And then the promise. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. Ah, dear friends, this is the blessing, this is the truth. I will be thou clean. It is in the person, it is in the gift, the unspeakable gift of his dearly beloved Son, that there is pardon and forgiveness from our God. Ah, what mercy is found here to all repenting sinners, through the blood of the Lamb of God, to cleanse and to heal, to make whole again the sin-sick sinner, and to reconcile them unto God. And oh then, dear friends, this truth, to glorify God, that he has looked down upon us in his pity, his mercy and his compassion, and that he has bid us that we should be freed from our sins, is our great mercy. Well, may the Lord bless these things to our souls. I will be thou clean. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach next Lord's Day. No, sorry. Where am I? Yeah, and there will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Izzard next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 916. Oft as sins my soul assail thee, turn thy eyes to Jesus' blood. Nothing short of this can heal thee, seal thy peace or do thee good. Seek no healing but from Gilead's sovereign balm. 916.
of us who have known the blessing of thy redeeming love and blood, help us that we might give praise and blessing to thy name for the mercy that we have found. Those that are seekers, those who desire to know thee in thy salvation, help them, Lord, and draw them to thee. Show them thy blood. Help them to plead that blood that did for sin atone, that they might know their peace and pardon. Pray, bless what has been attended to this evening in thy name. Pardon all that has been amiss. Take us to our homes in peace and safety. Be with us, Lord, in every part and aspect of our lives. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.